So today continues our series here. This is part two of our series. And of the five helps we addressed last week, or in the last month's call, health of the body, physical health. We went through the various things you can be looking out for and changes you can be making to begin to improve your physical health. Well, today the topic is on mental, emotional health, and this is obviously as a primer, as an intro. I like to share our understanding of why people develop emotional problems or blocks. Now, before I begin, I know that there are those of you listening to in different parts of the world that may be evening at this point. And it's 7 o'clock in Pacific Standard Time here in Los Angeles. What is the significance of day and night? Well, the beginning of the day, as the sun rises, there's light. And light comes into one's consciousness. The natural response to light is to become awakened. The natural response to no light, which would be evening, is to go to sleep or to calm your mind. This is the natural rhythms. Morning, we wake up, our spirit is conscious, we begin to mobilize our energies. So both our mental, emotional energy, our spiritual energy, as well as physical energy, begin to move. And this movement will allow us to begin to live our life, live out our thoughts, live out our dreams. And so during the daytime, the light allows us to actualize our life as who we are, manifesting who we are. At nighttime, we go to sleep to restore, to recover. But the nighttime, our spirit and our soul goes into our body, into our being. We say the heart houses the spirit, the liver houses the soul. In the evening time, the soul begins to become active. And this is when we do our dreaming. So in a way, we almost, and for some people, a very vivid, some people live a vivid dream life. So in the evening, they live a whole different life. So at night, when the light goes away, our soul energy awakens and begins to try to communicate with your spirit. And so that dreams are often a way in which we can understand what is going on with your, of course, in modern psychology terms, we talk about the subconscious and unconscious mind and the communication between these states of mind and the conscious mind. So in the Taoist perspective, the soul unites with the spirit and clearly establishes this communication between the soul and the spirit. And well, now why am I starting our conversation, our talk today on emotional and mental health with the examples of day and night? Because the light literally eliminates our mind allows us to be perceptive, to be conscious. So this is the example of energy. And at nighttime, we go to sleep, our conscious spirit goes to sleep, calms down. Our unconscious, our subconscious, the soul, begins to be active and does its communication. And in a way, very much problem solving for us, or reflecting to us what are some of the blocks. So dreams have often been used for, you know, throughout the ages as a way of understanding and interpreting the hidden aspects of your mind and emotions. And therefore, it's a useful tool for self-discovery as well. There are different practices that help you achieve vivid dreaming so that you can remember. When you wake up in the morning, write things down. And so I suggest that as a practice of self-discovery that is very useful for you to write down your dreams. And they are very symbolic. Dreams are almost never literal, unless, of course, if you cultivate and you meditate, you often, in your sleep at night, will have very specific messages that this spirit within you communicate to you, literally, sometimes so literally, and I will give you some examples in a moment. So we need to understand the role of light. Light illuminates the mind, allows us to see more clearly what is bothering us, what our dreams and aspirations are, what our conflicts are. This is very important. In order to understand why we have so many blocks, some people have so many emotional blocks that prevent them from actualizing their life. They experience their life in their mind only. They are not present. They're always in the mind. And this cannot be healthy. For health and well-being to exist, one's mind must be present in alignment with one's spirit and one's physical existence. And at the same time, emotionally, one must flow and experience the normal expressions of the emotions, because each emotion is an energy, and the energy of each organ system. So, for example, the kidneys in Chinese medicine is associated with water elements. The emotional energy expression of this organ system, since we don't perceive the mind as separate from the body, that fear, the feeling of fear, the feeling of even paranoia, for example, the timidity, the fright, and so forth, that is an expression of the kidney energy. Now, you can ask, well, gosh, I mean, why is there this emotional expression of the kidney? Well, see, fear, every emotion has a positive and negative side to it. Most of the time when we think about emotions, we think about the negative side. We think that fear and fright and paranoia and feeling timid prevents us from moving forward, blocks us from who we are, expressing our true essence. But at the same time, is there a healthy aspect of fear? Well, yes, of course. If you've ever been parents with young children, you would like your children to have some fear, wouldn't you? Oh, absolutely. You would like your children to have some fear in crossing the street and fearful of cars that might hit them. That fear is healthy. There are many children who die unnecessarily every day around the world. A child dies. And due to not illness, not something that is of the making, you know, or control of one, but rather the fearlessness or the ignorance of the child, accident occurs. They get hit by a car crossing the street because they're unconscious and have no fear. They look at a body of water, like a swimming pool, and they go to the edge of it, and they look down, they play with that water, they have no fear. They drop into the pool, and they drown. As adults, we have to balance emotions within our body. We have fear, too. And as long as this fear is a healthy fear, that prevents you from killing yourself. And I know that sounds extreme, but trust me, I have seen plenty of ignorant behavior when I thought to myself that, wow, this patient would have benefited from a little bit more fear. The fear of illness prevents from reckless action in one's diet, for example, right? So if you're afraid that you're going to get heart disease because you have a family history, hopefully that could be a driving force to prevent you from eating red meat 7 days a week and consuming lots of pop and sugar, and eating white food, white flour products. Because all of these help you develop plaque, which clogs your arteries and helps you manifest illness. So the dynamics of the emotions and the feelings that we have and how it interacts with our body and our life cannot be separated. They're all one. All is one. But let me begin this discussion about the blocks. How and why people develop emotional blocks. And these blocks, in turn, affects both the physical and emotional health, as well as preventing one from truly experiencing one's true nature. If you can't do that, then you cannot express your true nature in your life. So what is life? Well, it's a very, you know, sort of a difficult question, and yet simple question to answer. Life can be defined as simply the existence of the physical being. So an ant has a life, and has a rather limited life. A bird has a life. A dog has a life. And humans unlike any other living organism, has a life. So that is a very simplistic physical definition of what life is. So like amoebas, we swim through our existence, and eventually something overcomes us, whether it's illness or whether it's just old age. Then we perish from this physical existence. Like bacteria, like amoeba, like an ant. But is that the truth of life? Is that what life is about? Well, human life is the embodiment of heavenly and earthly energy. We embody the characteristics of heaven and earthly energy. So, in a way, we are consisting of this dual divine and material natures. And I'll be talking more about spiritual health in future talks. Today we focus on emotional and mental health. So, human life consists of this divine and material nature. Human life also is an individual life because we must fulfill our unique destiny. What is destiny, you may ask, because it sounds all too predetermined. Well, our purpose of human life is to align our will, our individual will, our human will, with that of the heavenly will. And how do you know what the heavenly will is? And how do we know what our destiny is? I mean, these are all questions that I get asked all the time. Well, that's why we promote self-cultivation. Unless you cultivate yourself and become clear and discover who you are, and therefore work on returning to your original nature, you cannot preserve the essence of your life and fulfill your destiny, aligning your will with the heavenly will. This is the goal of self-cultivation, so you can become clear. Okay. So let's talk about how this occurs. The reason why I start with this process and these concepts is for you to begin to think about why. Why is there, you know, human life, and why is there me? Why is there my life? And you might have questions like, why do I have so much pain in my life? Okay? So let's continue our discussion here. At the moment of your conception, heaven plants a seed of potential deep within you. This seed here, all right, is manifesting within you throughout your life, you see? And throughout your life, the divine continuously nourishes the seed, okay? You are the seed. The potential is the seed. And as you cultivate the seed, it manifests, it grows, and manifest fully as who you are in the world. Heaven continually nourish by challenging you, because challenges, just like a seed that's planted in the soil begins to germinate and into a plant, that plant is challenged, okay, challenged by wind, sometimes strong, sometimes uproots the plant, and sometimes soft and gentle, okay, like the fertilizing wind that carries the pollen throughout. It has to withstand rain. Rain, in small doses, it's very nourishing. The seed requires water to grow into a plant. The plant needs water to continue to grow. Sometimes there's drought. Sometimes there is such huge rain that it loosens the soil and carries the plant away. So the storms represents life. The seed that grows and into a plant, and eventually, through the challenges of the storm and the environment, becomes a big, strong tree that flower and give rise to fruit so that it can benefit everybody. So each person must accept all the events. You must accept all the events in your life, whether pleasant or not. These are the heaven of the divine attempt to nourish your seed so that you can be strengthened, so that you can grow eventually and manifest fully in the world. So if this is all happening without our knowing, then what is the point of our human will? The point is this, that you get to take action. Exercise your human will to take action, to cultivate the manifestation of this potential, your unique potential. Each and every one of us have a gift, a unique gift. What is your gift? What is your potential? That is the seed that is residing within you. Have you helped as heaven has helped you nourish and manifest your seed into something, anything? So the exercise of your human will to manifest your potential will allow you to fulfill your destiny. Now, again, this is important conceptually because you hopefully begin to realize that, you know, I'm here. I was born. And I've had a lot of experiences. And all these experiences caused me to feel happy, feel sad, feel angry, feel all the emotions. The emotions are like weather system. You experience them, but then they're gone. It rains today, and it stops tomorrow. And that's it. It's a weather system. It's just kind of monitoring. It's a monitoring way for us to monitor how we're doing, depending on our emotions. So it depends on what goes through us. So if we're angry sometimes, we feel depressed, we feel joyful, we feel melancholic, we feel fear. All of these emotions are weather system. Is today a good day? Is it a sunny day? How's the storm rising? based on that, we know what's going on. We know how you're handling your life. If the weather system is so severe that it could even be crippling, people who are depressed cannot get out of bed, therefore cannot even begin to manifest your life, your unique life. That is a severe weather system. So based on that, we know that you're not handling your life. But if you understand that we're all different, while at the same time we all share this brotherhood, this sisterhood, this kinship of our origin, our spiritual cosmic origin. We all come from one. But we are different and unique. We are different and infinite expressions of the divine energy, each and every one of us. We have been planted with this seed, and then it's up to us to align our human will with the heavenly will to manifest our life and ourselves fully. If you understand that, then you begin to understand yourself in a deeper way and to be able to deal with your emotions. So, emotions are interesting. I mentioned earlier, it's like energy. It's like an energy. I like to use the example or the analogy of the great floods in China. Over many years, the Chinese people grew up along the Yellow River. And the Yellow River starts in the Himalayas. As the snow melts, the water, with great deal of force, thunders down the mountains and courses through valleys and eventually emptying out into the sea. But along the way, it nourishes, that source of water. Great civilizations always, always begins near bodies of water. And China is no different. But yet, this water, while life-giving, continually destroys year after year, flooding, destroys villages, kills people, and wipes out all the crops that are grown. And this river is no different than emotions. This emotional energy comes through in our life as we experience them. And they can be so powerful that they can be harnessed for greatness, such as nourishing the crops, gives rise to food, abundance, feeds, and helps an entire civilization prosper and grow. Or it can destroy and leave in its tracks debris and destruction, like the Hurricane Katrina. So Yu, let's spell Y-U, Yu was a brilliant engineer. And he recognized that the river, the Yellow River, all right, the Yellow River must be tamed. And how do you tame this wild, untamable energy? You can't stop it. There's no reservoir big enough to contain all the snow that melts in the Himalayas. So what do? You don't simply try to forcefully tame the river, because you will simply be destroyed by its power. So instead, he realized he must channel channel the river. So he built an elaborate system of canals, and then at the ends of these canals there are reservoirs, and the canals have these locks. So as the river water level rises in springtime, as snow melts, and this great force comes thundering down from the mountains, he's able to siphon off this excess energy into the reservoirs and then store them. And during time of drought, because if you are an agrarian society, you know that there's going to be drought. And so during times of drought, and the level of the river is low, he was able to then access all these reservoirs to irrigate the land. Brilliant. Ingenious. That's exactly how we, as the Taoist tradition, channel our energies. We cultivate our energies by practicing Tai Chi, Qigong, Daoyin, meditation. What is the goal of all that? Well, the goal is to take energy, excess energy that may become destructive and channel them into constructive energy like the reservoirs become. So for you who's considered a Taoist master, fulfill his mandate from heaven, his life's potential, his unique gift was to help tame the floods. Therefore, he became the ruler of the land and established China's first dynasty, called the Xia Dynasty. So in our life, we need to recognize this river of energy. This energy, remember, is a fusion of heavenly and earthly energy. And so if we stop the natural expression, self-expression, okay, by blocking the flow of this chi, this energy, and we resist the flow of the river, we will cause great deal of disarray and symptoms within our kingdom, our inner kingdom, which will lead to floods. And this flood is the source of all illness. It's not just mental, emotional energy that we're talking about. Physical energy as well. So this will manifest as physical illness. Why do people get cancer? Cancer, tumors, growth is the manifestation of this blockage. This blockage of energy swells up, collects, and creates and manifests into this dense tissue called tumor, which continues to grow unless you restore the flow again. You see? So, if you have this understanding, then you can choose to live your best life by willing to see all the challenges in your life as the will of heaven and the divine, challenging you, strengthening you. Okay? Instead of adding to your life pain by resisting and generating illness over all your life's difficulties, you learn to understand the flow and learn to cultivate the flow. The mind plays tricks on you because you have these expectations, and I'll talk about it in a moment here, and the expectations and the realities do not match up. Then we have conflict and clash. And this clash creates blockage and pain. The pain in your life is brought on by you turning your back on the heavenly will and also one of your true nature. Remember, we are unique individuals with the full potential planted by heaven or the divine. And it is up to us to manifest that and fulfill our destiny as a result. Now, we grew up with a lot of myths, each of us. There are myths that are cultural. I grew up in China. Many of you grew up in the States or Europe or Africa or wherever you come from. There are myths that we grow up that help us, and then there are myths that we grow up that really become inhibiting for us. So one of the American myths growing up here is boys don't cry. And if boys don't cry, then how do boys, as they become men, deal with their emotions? You can see that could be a problem. That creates all kinds of emotional problems. Crying is an outlet. It's a natural emotional expression. If you fall down and hurt yourself, it hurts. It hurts physically. And tears are the rain from heaven. This is very nourishing. Clears out. Allows you to express your sadness. This is normal. When you're hurt emotionally or from a loss, you cry. And this is normal too. The crying allows you to release this incredible heavy energy. If you don't cry, the people who don't allow themselves to cry, and because you believe in this myth that if you're a guy, if you're a boy, that you don't cry, then you will damage your heart. I guarantee you. Studies show that men who don't express their feelings and sadness or hold it all inside, guess what? They are 3 times as likely to have a heart attack and die. Wow. What do you think of that? Such is the power of emotions. Anyway, so these myths in your life, you need to contemplate and ask yourself, what meanings have you derived from these myths in your life? Have they been, how do they serve you anyway? You know, how have they affected your health and well-being? Are they empowering you or are they diminishing you? Well, you know, the myth of slaying the dragon. You know, the hero's journey that Joseph Campbell talks about in all the stories around the world, there's always a hero's journey. The hero's triumph, and then the fall, and then restoring his glory or her glory by triumphing again. The dragon, of course, is oftentimes representative of our emotional ego. And slaying of the dragon allows us to finally come to accept who we are and the realities of life and learn to triumph and over them. Now, these myths are useful because the hero's journey helps us to get back and to meet the challenges head on. But there are other myths that are diminishing, destructive, not constructive at all. And throughout our childhood, our school years, our family, our friends, our society, we develop an understanding based on all the feedback from our environment, our human environment. And this environment gives us definition of who we think we are, and as well as the myth that we picked up along the way. And what happened is that we end up living with lots of untruths, layers and layers, that burden us and that create conflict within us. Our beliefs predispose us to emotional problems. So who are you? Do you know? And if you haven't given much thought to this, then most likely you have a superficial sense of who you are. But as you have cultivated and contemplated and worked on yourself spiritually over time, you begin to get closer and understand your true nature. There are simple things like traits. What are your innate traits and what are your acquired traits? And which one do you emphasize for your life? This is important just because we have all these perceptions of us. And these perceptions get us all into all kinds of trouble emotionally. You know? Your perception of yourself might be, I am ugly. I am overweight. So, what do you think that can happen? What would happen in your life if you went about your life with these two perceptions about who you are? You can all imagine, right, that the emotional crisis and the agony of pain that an anorexic person suffers from with eating disorder, because he or she, and in this case, it's mostly she, that they perceive that they're overweight all the time, so they stop eating, or they're bulimic, so they throw up. Do you think this person would ever have a normal emotional life? Not until this misperception is corrected, you see. And so much of the emotional problems that we have, again, stems from this self-image. Of course, that's too simplistic. Yes, we have good self-esteem, we have low self-esteem, we have self-esteem that's all over the map. Not just self-esteem we talk about. You got to go deeper into understanding why you are here. What is the seed that heaven has planted in you? Have you ever thought about that? What should that seed manifest into? In what image? Well, you come into this world with no preconceived image of what that seed is, and you grow. But through interference of family and society, you begin to think that you are something. And some of it is healthy, some of it is good, some of it is dead on. But much of the time, we have too many myths about ourselves and our life that just simply isn't true. So practices like meditation, contemplative practices, Wu Dao, helps you peel off layers of these untruths and allows you to get closer to the core true essence. So, what about your willpower? What about your human will? Think about it. Think about what are some of the ways you can use your will power to push past your limits. All right? It's important that you think about this. Think about what is the motivation that drives you to use your will in a particular way. You know, and sometimes I see people just get locked down emotionally and be so stubborn in one sense, you know, and not giving up. It's like a pit bull that has a grip on someone and not letting go. Okay, not letting go. And even if you get hit, even if you get kicked, you still don't let go. Now, I will say that if it's for survival, then I applaud you for your effort because you're holding on and you're not giving up. Such as if you have cancer and you say to yourself, I've got too much to do here. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to lie down and just go. I applaud you there. But if you get stuck in an emotional situation, and because you are so stubbornly married to your idea and your position in the relationship, that you refuse to let go of that position, and even if you get kicked and hit, and badgered and do all these things, you still don't let go, then I would say that you are a fool, because this is how you continue to be injured. And so when people get stuck in a situation, an emotional situation, they just can't let go. You really need to let go so that you don't keep getting hit or kicked. So, very important to know and understand what is the motivation behind you exercising, and to pay what price for overusing this will. You got to know what that is, you know? But at the same time, you know, what situation have you used your willpower in a way that empowered you, right? And so, again, your will can be so useful. By turning your will inward in an act of self-discovery, you can begin to see and explore who you are, why you're here, okay? And think about what the major influences in your life that helped to define who you are, because this helps you understand where your perception of who you are comes from, okay? And then you can consider what these influences are, whether they've been positive or negative, so that you can begin to separate them out. The positive the influences you want to keep. The negative influences you want to understand. And so you can stop repeating. All right? And we all have negative situations. We experience all kinds of situations in life that gives us emotional turmoil. The important, significant thing is, what meaning have you attached to each one of these circumstances? Because depending on what you have attached to these circumstances, that is your feeling. That is how you're going to remember and experience these things. Now imagine, for example, a infant or a child less than 1 year old. A child experiences all the situations that we may come in contact with. We react emotionally. That child has no point of reference to even react, except for physical reactions, like if you get pinched or if you get burned. But that child has no reference point. Therefore, completely stays neutral. Or, if the child is told by the parents, oh, that's positive. That is happy-making. The child begins to believe that. So the question of how you manage your emotional life lies in your awareness of self-discovery. You go deep within yourself. You go past your current understanding. You go into the past, and you begin to see all these layers that have been put on top of you, and you can't really see clearly. And all you do in life is you just react. You just react to all kinds of situations and create these emotional energies that are like floods, and they flood through your body and destroy all the good things that you have built up. And that is unnecessary. There are emotional problems that are physical. Clearly, there's a physical component to some people's emotional illness, such as depression, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, or schizophrenia, or there are many mental illness, and some of them are unfortunately physical, meaning there are brain chemical imbalance. So they're due to physical and structural issues. I've had patients who suffer brain injury, concussion, sports injury, and develop mental illness from that. And these must be treated. They must be treated. They must be under the care of a mental health professional. Or in Chinese medicine, there are different ways of treating these conditions. And by the way, is there anything wrong with using, for example, herbs like chamomile? Let's say, for example, I feel irritable and agitated, and I drink a chamomile tea, and I feel calmer. Is there value to that? Absolutely. There's absolute value to that. That's why they're available herbs. For example, emotional tranquility. It's a tea. It's a tea of different herbs that can help. We have a formula called comfort that also helps you relax and sleep. So if you're feeling agitated, you feel irritable, you have a tendency to fly off the handle or react to people, keeps you calmer, helps you. There are other herbs that you can use as well, you see. So don't be shy to look for solutions, because keep in mind that your emotional health and your physical health and spiritual health are all intertwined. So you can use physical means to correct and balance emotional imbalance, and vice versa. You can use emotional means to balance physical illness. You see? So this is the beauty and the dynamic of human being. In our life, as we go through our life, we learn that every challenge and every difficulty and every obstacle and every situation that doesn't go our way are the divine will to nourish you, to strengthen you, to challenge you, no matter what it is, pleasant or unpleasant. We are ready, because we are ready to be nourished and strengthened so that we can grow and evolve and fulfill and manifest our true essence of who we are, and therefore ultimately our destiny. That is unique, and that is worthwhile, and that is why I find that spiritual cultivation in the Integral Way tradition have helped many, many people. I have certainly, personally speaking, healed from many of my emotional difficulties and have experienced the light of the day, and clarity guides me in my life and my purpose. And I wish for you all to experience the same, to have that clarity and understanding of who you are truly and why you are here and what your contract with heaven, your heavenly mandate, your destiny, what that destiny is about. And that is for you to experience, and that is for you to manifest, and it's not for me or anyone else to tell you what that is. So if you have experienced emotional loss, and there is nothing, I think, that is more painful than to lose one's loved one, one's parents, one's child, one's spouse, one's sibling, someone you're close to. That is tremendously disorienting, because you cannot help but question the purpose of life and why. Why are you here when there's so much pain? But the person who deceased you had his or her purpose, her destiny. And that destiny, if it's your parents, part of that destiny was to bring you into this world so that and nurture you and give you all the opportunities for you to thrive and for you to become who you are today. You know, that they have a hand in. That is, there's no greater purpose, I think, than to be able to help the world, to be able to help someone to fulfill their destiny, to fulfill this seed, to manifest this potential. So now, instead of questioning why, you must pick up where we are and move forward so that you can fulfill your destiny as well. As painful as the experiences, that's what it serves to remind us that we all have that. So we come to the end of our talk for this month, and I hope all of you will spend some time and take advantage of the few things that I've talked about. Think about it. How you want to manage your life and your emotional health so that you can fully express who you are in your life. So thank you for the opportunity, and we will talk again next month. Be well and have a wonderful day.